A new poll says two-thirds of Americans want the Supreme Court to keep Roe v. Wade in place.
Democrats hope the threat to abortion rights will boost their party's turnout in the midterm elections. Will it do so?
I'm Leila Fadel here with Rachel Martin, and this is Up First from NPR News. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announces new measures to combat the spread of hateful ideologies, including a domestic terrorism unit.
And we'll make sure that they're trained to know how it occurs, where it occurs, and how to stop it.
In Buffalo, the white 18-year-old accused of a racist shooting rampage appears in court today, and prosecutors weigh the evidence against him.
Also in Ukraine, the first criminal war trial is underway in the capital, Kyiv. Stay with us. We've got the news you need to start your day.
Support comes from our 2022 lead sponsor of Up First, Capital One, offering Capital One Shopping, a downloadable browser extension that searches various sites for shoppers. What's in your wallet? More at CapitalOneShopping.com.
The unprecedented leak of a draft Supreme Court opinion has thrown abortion rights back in the spotlight of American politics.
The document signaled the court's conservative majority is ready to roll back five decades of what has been a bedrock of American law. Now, the latest NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll finds that about two-thirds of Americans oppose overturning the landmark Supreme Court decision that made abortion legal in the United States.
With us now to discuss the survey's findings, NPR senior political editor and correspondent Domenico Montanaro. Domenico, thanks for being here.
Hi, Rachel.
So a majority of Americans want to keep Roe in place, huh?
Well, yeah, as you guys noted, roughly two-thirds, 64% of Americans say they do not support overturning Roe v. Wade, but 68% are in favor of some degree of restrictions on abortion rights. That includes a slim majority of Democrats, which restrictions, though, draw some differences of opinion. About 6 in 10 think abortion should be allowed at least in the first 3 months of pregnancy. Others believe it only should be legal in cases of rape, incest, or if the life of the pregnant person's at stake. But only 9% think it shouldn't be allowed under any circumstance. When we looked at some of what's being considered in the states, we found that people are largely in favor of providing safe havens for those seeking abortions from out of state. People don't want to let private citizens sue abortion providers, and it's very unpopular to make abortion a crime. Respondents are split, though, when it comes to a 15-week ban and the mailing of abortion-inducing pills.
What does the survey say about how this leak out of the court could affect midterm elections? I mean, does either party come away with any kind of advantage?
They do. Democrats are seeing a bit of an advantage. We should note, though, that the draft decision could differ from how the court ultimately rules. For now, Democrats have the edge, not just because most people don't want Roe overturned, but also because when it comes to the contents of the leak, 66% of Democrats say it makes them more likely to vote. Compare that to just 40% of Republicans who said so. Lee Mieringoff, the director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion, which conducted the poll, thinks that's a big deal.
It definitely has them focused, as no other issue in the recent months has. And to have a gap of that magnitude over the Republicans is something that, you know, at this point should not go unnoticed.
Also, we saw a reversal from last month on who people said they would choose to vote for if the election were held today. 47% said they'd choose a Democrat. 42% said a Republican. That's a net 8-point boost for Democrats from last month. Of course, this is nationally, not in the battleground districts where Democrats acknowledge Republicans have the advantage right now.
So then you have to ask, will Democratic voters stay animated? I mean, it's one thing to be really exercised about this in the moment, but does that animation carry over into November?
Yeah, it's a key question. President Biden got a bounce after his State of the Union address, but that receded. I asked Mieringoff if he sees anything in this that could make this more long-lasting or not.
My sense of it is that this is not going to be one of those issues that shows up and vanishes soon thereafter, because so many of the states are going to then have a key decision-making role in what the policy is within their jurisdiction.
Now, what we know for sure is that abortion is a potentially huge wild card in this election. We'll see what the Supreme Court actually decides, but right now the leak is, at least in the short run, firing up Democrats.
NPR's Domenico Montanaro. Domenico, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
The 18-year-old white man, accused of killing 10 people and wounding three others in a shooting rampage, appears in court this morning in Buffalo, New York.
The attack took place at a supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood. Most of the victims were black. The state's governor is promising changes to combat what she calls domestic terrorism.
NPR's Cheryl Corley has been reporting on this story. She joins us now from Buffalo. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Let's start with the suspect. He pleaded not guilty in a quick arraignment last week. What can we expect from today's hearing?
Well, today is what's called a felony hearing, and that's where they determine whether there's enough evidence for trial. Peyton Gendron, as you mentioned, is charged with first-degree murder. And like, this is an open and shut case, but it's not that simple, according to District Attorney John Flynn.
Emotions are high. I understand the rawness of this matter. However, I do not operate in the court of public opinion. I operate in a court of law. And this defendant is innocent until proven guilty.
And Flynn says more charges may come, however, after a grand jury convenes and investigates the shooting. There's a 45-day window for that to occur, and the clock starts ticking today.
I mean, we heard Flynn say the defendant is innocent until proven guilty. We just have to note, though, the shooting at the supermarket was live streamed on a social media channel before getting removed. And the suspect apparently wrote a racist document that was posted online. I mean, are those things going to be factors in the trial?
Well, you know, it really depends on whether they are admitted in court. And the battle over evidence always plays out in trials. County Board Association selected attorneys in private practice to represent the suspect. And what evidence is allowed is sure to be an argument between the defense and prosecutors if the plea remains the same and if the case moves forward.
So let's talk about what the governor of New York is doing. Kathy Hochul has moved, along with the state attorney general, to go after social media companies. Tell us more.
Well, the governor said the nation's biggest threat is the mainstreaming of hate speech and white supremacy and easy access to military-style weapons and ammunition. She sent a referral letter requesting the Attorney General, Letitia James, to investigate social media platforms, Twitch and 4chan, and others that were apparently used to amplify the attack. And Hochul also signed an executive order that sets up a domestic terrorism unit.
They'll develop the best practices for law enforcement, for mental health professionals, for school officials to address the rise in homegrown extremism. And we'll make sure that they're trained to know how it occurs, where it occurs, and how to stop it.
So in addition to this focus on social media, the governor has also announced this plan for tighter gun controls. What can you tell us?
She wants state lawmakers really to close gun law loopholes that she says allow specialty guns to be sold without permits and just a whole package. And in the midst of all this, the community is mourning. There have been vigils held all week, and tomorrow a funeral will be held for 67-year-old Hayward Patterson, one of the 10 victims.
NPR's Cheryl Corley reporting from Buffalo. Cheryl, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ukraine says it's documented more than 11,000 possible war crimes by Russian troops.
And rather than wait for the war to end, Ukraine is investigating and now prosecuting, even as the conflict goes on. The first war crimes trial is underway in the capital city, Kyiv.
NPR's Greg Myrie is covering the case there, and he joins us now. Good morning, Greg.
Hi, Layla.
So, Greg, this Russian soldier pleaded guilty yesterday. What's happening in court today?
Right. Ukrainian prosecutors say they have evidence they want to present in the case against this Russian soldier whose name is Vadim Shishimarin. Now, we know the outline of the case. We haven't heard the evidence. The Ukrainian prosecutors say this Russian sergeant was with fellow troops and they saw a 62-year-old Ukrainian man on the side of the road in a village in the country's northeast. He was on his cell phone and the Russians suspected he might be revealing their position. So the sergeant shot him with an automatic rifle, according to the prosecutors. More than 100 journalists overwhelmed the tiny courtroom yesterday, so it's been moved to a larger courthouse today.
Okay, so Ukraine clearly wants publicity for this case. Have they explained how they captured the soldier, how they identified him, and linked him to this one shooting?
Yeah, the Ukrainians are making a concerted effort to keep attention focused on Russian atrocities. So on one level, this case is part of this ongoing information war, but it's also bringing scrutiny to how Ukraine is handling these cases, and there are some sticky questions. Ukraine has not said how it captured the soldier. It did release a video earlier this month in which he was being questioned and said he was responsible for the shooting. So we should note that prisoners are not supposed to be put on public display according to the Geneva Conventions, though there are some exceptions for if a prisoner is facing war crimes. The soldier does have a Ukrainian lawyer who addressed some of these issues. So he's saying the tensions are inflamed in Ukraine because of the war, but the world is watching Ukraine and seeing how it deals with human rights and how the justice system is operating.
More broadly, can you tell us why Ukraine decided to start prosecutions while the war is still going on?
Yeah, Leila. So it's very highly unusual to do this. War crimes are usually prosecuted after a war is over and done by an international group or an international body. But Ukraine says that waiting to do that until after a war poses challenges. Often it's years later. Evidence may be long gone. Witnesses can be hard to track down. Ukraine's government wants to investigate now when they say the evidence is fresh and when witnesses can be located.
I'm sure a lot of questions about whether they can get fair trials in Ukraine. Are the Ukrainians concerned that these war crime trials might also make it harder to get back their POWs held by Russia, like the fighters who just surrendered in Mariupol?
Yeah, Ukraine hasn't said this publicly, but it already appears there could be complications. Both sides have captured POWs, and there have been some limited swaps, but some Russian officials are making the unfounded claim that Ukrainian fighters in Mariupol were Nazis and should be prosecuted as war criminals, making their possible return even more uncertain.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting in Kyiv, Ukraine. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And that is Up First for this Thursday, May 19th. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Leila Fadel. Start your day here with us tomorrow. And since the news does not stop when this podcast ends, follow us on Twitter at Up First.
And if you're ready for more NPR news, there's a radio show for that very thing. It's called Morning Edition. You can find it on your NPR station at stations.npr.org or scroll through the latest stories and updates on the Morning Edition live blog at npr.org. Also, for podcast local news and the latest headlines, you can take NPR everywhere you go with the NPR One app. Find that at your app store.